بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. All praise and thanks belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and may the peace and blessing of Allah be upon His servant and final messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As to what follows, my dear respected brothers and sisters in Islam, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh. Last week we ended the discussion off with the concluding ayah of the first passage of Surah At-Takwir, and that was Alimat nafsum ma ahbarat. That was the concluding ayah of the first passage. And we said Surah At-Takwir, it's made up of two passages. The first passage that describes the events of the Day of Judgment, that is, إِذَا الشَّمْسُ كُوِّرَتْ وَإِذَا النُّجُومُ كَدَرَتْ وَإِذَا الْجِبَالُ سُيُّرَتْ, and so on. And then there's a second passage, and the second passage is actually referring to Al-Qur'an, the revelation, Al-Risala. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala proves Al-Risala, how is this true? And we're going to, inshallah ta'ala, discuss why the idea of the Risala and how these two passages are both connected. So now, we find in the second passage that the surah takes a shift. Surah At-Takwir takes a shift. And this passage that we're going to discuss today, from فَلَا أُقْسِمُ بِالْخُنَّسِ الْجَوَارِ الْكُنَّسِ, is a conclusion of what came before, of everything that came before. And why do we say it's a conclusion? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَلَا أُقْسِمُ بِالْخُنَّسِ. This fa in fala, this fa here necessarily connects whatever ayat are coming to the ayat that have already came. So this fa is the fa, they call it the connector. It connects basically what's coming after to what was before. So this is what we have to study and see how it's all connected and related. So that passage that had just ended before, it ended with the ayah, عَلِمَتْ نَفْسٌ مَا أَحْضَرَتْ. That was the conclusion of the entire passage of إِذَا الشَّمْسُ كُوِّرَتْ وَإِذَا النُّجُومُ كَدَرَتْ. Basically, that what that meant was every single person already knows very, very well what they have or what they will present forth on the Day of Judgment. You know it very well. Alimat. Not sata'alamu, will know. Alimat, you already know. And we gave the example of, if you're a student walking into the class to sit an exam, and you haven't studied for the exam, you walk in and you walk out, the day of the results, you know you failed. You know it. So alimat. So everyone knows exactly what you do in this world. And on that day, when these events unfold, you're already going to know exactly where you're headed. You know exactly what's going on, because you know what you did. So, عَلِمَتْ نَفْسٌ مَا أَحْضَرَتْ. Every single soul, every single person already knows what they have to present forth on that day. And this ayah, عَلِمَتْ نَفْسٌ مَا أَحْضَرَتْ, is an ayah referring to the actions one does. Your actions. Now the second half of the surah takes us from the worlds of actions to the world of beliefs. This is the connection. And why is it a connection? Because your actions are results of what you believe. What you believe will eventually be manifest in what you do. So these two are always connected, belief and action. And that's why you find in the Quran that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala always links these together. آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات إلا من تاب وآمن وعمل عملا صالحا. آمن, الإيمان, is the belief, and the عمل الصالح is the actions. So these two, it is like a cycle between the عمل and إيمان. And as we said, what you believe leads to a certain type of action. And whatever your action is, whatever action you do is only due to a belief you had. So there's a cycle between al-amal wal-iman, the belief and the actions. So, عَلِمَتْ نَفْسٌ مَا أَحْضَرَتْ, this actually this concluding ayah of that passage was about the actions. Now this passage that we're going to share, and this is the final passage of the surah, it's going to discuss the beliefs. The beliefs. So, something we should know before we get into this passage, before we get into this ayat, these ayat, we have to know, shed some light about the thought process, about the beliefs of Kuffar Quraysh. What was their belief? What was something they had in common amongst them all that they believed? Now, Kuffar Quraysh, they thought that certain things were bad omens. So for example, if you had a daughter, that's a bad omen. It's a sign of misfortune for the family. It's a sign of badness, of evil. Something bad is going to happen to you. And they had many superstitious beliefs. For example, in the sun, in the moon, in the rain, in the clouds, how they'd come, the wind. Many of these superstitious beliefs. And one of these was the beliefs in stars. The belief in stars. And this is not only limited to them. Even nowadays we have the study of astrology. You know, fortune telling, palm reading and so on. And this is an entire business. It's an entire industry that runs throughout the world. It wasn't only limited to Quraysh's time. Rather, we still find that up until today. You know, like of the criminal industries we have, for example, there's the drug trafficking, the oil smuggling. They have the organized crimes, the prostitution rings and so on. Of these industries, you also have astrology. It's one of a criminal industry. And unfortunately, this even exists amongst the Muslims in the Muslim world. So you have some Muslims when they're depressed or when they feel possessed, leading a depressed life, you'll find they go to palm readers. They go to these people that learn astrology, the science of stars. And they go and they speak to them, hoping that they would give them some sort of guidance on how to lead their future, what to do. This is unfortunate, but you find it in the Muslim world. And no doubt this is shirk. This is shirk. Why? Because the belief that Allah, that other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has a knowledge of the unseen is shirk. And the knowledge of the stars, apparently these people, they claim that they know the ghaib, the unseen, the future. And so if you believe other than Allah knows this, then you're a mushrik. So already this belief is kufr, and it is shirk. And so Quraysh had this thing, they had this belief in the stars. Now you know the stars, how they twinkle, right? They come on and off, and they're bright. Then they fade away, then they come back into their brightness. They have this on and off thing. Now Quraysh would think that when the stars are twinkling, they're trying to tell us something. They're trying to speak to us. And when they see a shooting star from the sky, they would say that this is a sign of something. It's referring to something. So some people in Quraysh, they had no business. They have nothing to sell. So what would they do? They'd say, and they'd make it common amongst the people, that they belong to a certain group of people, and they belong to a certain group of people that have contact with the stars, that these people have access with the devils, with the shayateen, who go up to the heavens and find out what these stars are telling us. And they'd go around to the people and they'd scare them. They'd go to them, they'd say, "Oh look, something very, very dangerous, something big of an event is coming towards you, coming to towards your family, coming towards your future. You know, come visit us and for only $20 we'll tell you exactly how to get rid of this or how to solve this problem." And this even exists. Today you open the newspaper, you find, you know, call 1-300 to find about your future, $18 an hour or something. This happens up until today, it's there. And this happened long time before. And this is the belief of the mushrikeen. Now, basically the idea was that this was a business. And the idea was that you come to us, we'll give you information from a secure source, from the devils, from the shayateen, that we can talk to, and we'll get you this information and we'll deliver it to you for a low cost. That was the idea. And so people, misguided people, they would go to them. So you'd have the pregnant woman, for example, go to these kohen, these fortune tellers, these palm readers. What am I going to have? A baby boy or a baby girl? And you'll have the tribes, some certain individuals will go to them and they'll say, if I kill this person from this tribe, would I eventually get caught for it? Should I go for it or not? So they'd get this information. And this was their belief. And so these kohen, these mind readers, these palm readers and so on, that would claim and acknowledge for themselves that they know the future, when the person comes and asks them for guidance, when he's seeking guidance, they'll mumble a few words, make it like there's some telepathic connection going on. And then after a while, they'll say, I got it. You should do this, you should do that, you should stay away from this, make sure you don't go there, and everything should be fine. Allah give us the money. And go. This was the idea, this is what was going on. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this passage, He takes an oath by the stars. This was important to understand, so now you can understand exactly how this passage comes in context. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala swears and He takes an oath by the stars. And keep in mind that the stars, as we already said, in the Quraysh, in the Mushrik culture, specifically the Quraysh culture, it had to do a lot with bad omens and superstitious beliefs. That's the stars. And one of the allegations, one of the accusations against the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam was that he's a kahin as well. He's a mind reader, he's a palm reader as well. He gets this stuff, they're referring to the revelation, he gets it also from the devils, from the shayateen. And there's no difference between us and him. But of course there's a difference. Because what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam is telling them, what he's reciting to them, is making people question their conscience. It's making some people have a serious thought about what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam is reciting. Unlike the Quran, he gets paid for what he's doing. And then most of the time, the Quran, they will tell you something you want to hear. And so you're convinced, and so you get... So you can refer others to them. So they'll tell you what you want to hear. So what comes in this surah, in Surah At-Takwir, and what came before it in Surah Abasa, describing the events of the Day of Judgment, and then what happens on the Day of Resurrection, all this is not something the mushrik wants to hear. Isn't it so? Because he doesn't believe in this. So he doesn't want to hear the shamsu kuwirat, wa idha al-nujum kadarat, wa idha al-jibalu su, all these realities, he doesn't want to hear it. So he has to find some way to get his guidance. If not from the Quran, where's it going to be? Belief is something that has to be in everyone. He's not going to get it from Rasulullah. So he's going to divert, he's going to go to the palm readers, to the Quran, and that's where he's going to take his information and his guidance from. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He goes to their apparent source of knowledge, which is the stars, and He says, فَلَا أُقْسِمُ بِالْخُنَّسِ فَلَا. No, on the contrary, this is one opinion, that la here in this ayah is not connected to أُقْسِمُ. So it's like فَلَا. No, absolutely not. Your beliefs and this superstitious belief you have, this is all false. This is all wrong. It's misguiding. It's misleading. Not at all. Don't have these assumptions. Don't make these assumptions. Be quiet, all of you. Listen to what I'm going to say. All this is described and illustrated in the word fala, in la. Now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, uqsimu bil khunnas. I swear by Al-Khunnas. And Al-Khunnas is the plural of Khanis. And Khanis, literally in the Arabic language, is someone who goes on a path, then they hide behind something. Then they come back out, then they walk for a bit, then they hide behind something. So Al-Khanis is someone that hides and appears. Whether he's walking in the bush, he hides behind a tree, then he comes out, then he hides behind a rock. That's someone khanis. Someone that does this is described as a khanis. And so this Al-Khunnas is referring to the stars. Because the stars, they have this. Where they hide, that's when they twinkle. Their light is off, then they come back on. Off and on. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala referred to the stars by saying Al-Khunnas. So the mushrik in Quraysh, when he sees a star, he says it's a sign for me. There's some sort of information for me. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is calling this star, his apparent source of knowledge, he's calling it Al-Khunnas. He's saying that this that you rely on is something that disappears and appears. So how do you rely on something that's not even stable? Something that's on and off. Serious? Is this your guidance? Something that goes and comes. And this is what you're relying on regarding your life and your future and your family and your tribes. And when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala swears by Al-Khunnas, it also indicates that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who controls the stars. He's in total control of the stars. So one opinion is that La is not connected to Al-Qasam at all. La is negating what came before of ideas and superstitious beliefs we already discussed. Saying La, meaning no, all that is wrong. Then Uqsimu Bil-Khunnas is like the new sentence. Now there's a second opinion. These are important to share so you can see the diverse nature of the Qur'an, how the ayat come and how the opinions come to explain يعني the Qur'an and the misconceptions sometimes some of us have. So the other meaning, فَلَا أُقْسِمُ بِالْخُنَّسِ, basically some of the ulama said, فَلَا أُقْسِمُ بِالْخُنَّسِ, all of it means I do swear by Al-Khunnas. And the third opinion, and this is what we want to share. Now we know in the Arabic language, La means no. So when we read فَلَا أُقْسِمُ بِالْخُنَّسِ, literally this will mean I do not swear by Al-Khunnas. This is what it literally means. Now in order to understand this, how do we understand Allah is saying no, I do not swear by Al-Khunnas? How do we understand this? We have to see what the subject of the oath is. Right before I told you that when Allah Azza wa Jal makes an oath in the Quran, there's always the object and there's the subject, right? And we said they're both linked together. So at the end, inshallah, I'll link to you how the stars is related to the subject. But let's for now see what the subject is. So the subject here, when we get to it, but we'll get to it now so we can understand this. إِنَّهُ لَقَوْلُ رَسُولٍ كَرِيمٍ. Basically, the subject is Al-Quran, speaking about the Quran itself. And so the object here is the stars. Now when you take an oath, when you swear by something, when you swear to something, that means that what you're about to say could possibly be doubtful. So you swear to remove any kind of doubt. I'm in the masjid. Someone doesn't believe you. Wallahi, I'm in the masjid. So you took an oath so the doubt could be removed from the one you're speaking to. So now that we know the subject is the Quran, is the Quran a doubtful matter? Is the Quran something we doubt? No, it's not something we doubt. And because it's not something we doubt, Allah says, I do not swear by Al-Khunnas. I don't have to swear by Al-Khunnas. Because the Quran is a matter, is a subject that's very clear, that's not doubtful. It doesn't even require a swear. It doesn't even require to take an oath upon. فَلَا أُقْسِمُ بِالْخُنَّسِ. This is a strong opinion, but the majority opinion is that La is not connected. But if you were to understand it, that it's connected, that'll be the meaning of it. That this subject that Allah took an oath by is so powerful, it's so clear that I don't have to take an oath by it. But we said that the majority is that fala is by itself negating all the beliefs they had before, then uqsimu bil khunnas. I swear by al khunnas, which is referring to the stars, and the stars twinkle, turn on and off, so that's why they call al khunnas. Al jawari al khunnas. Now Allah doesn't say wal jawari al khunnas, fal jawari al khunnas. He immediately says al jawari al khunnas. And because there is no waw, there is no fa, it means this is connected to the previous ayah. So al-jawari comes from the word jara yajuru jawran, which basically means you're on a course, you're on the highway, for example, and you veer off. You all of a sudden you're off the highway, like you go into an exit or something. That's jara, to veer off course. And so this is referring to the stars that go off their place, that veer off their course. You know what I'm talking about? About the shooting stars. So you know the stars, they have their course, and all of a sudden, if you've seen this before, a shooting star, it just comes off course. It's al-jawar, it just, all of a sudden it's gone off, and it drives this way. Now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, al-jawari al-kunnas. Now let's understand kunnas and we'll wrap them together. Al-kunnas comes from the word kinas. And kinas, literally in the Arabic language, is the hiding place of a D. Of a D. So this D, it runs in the bush, and then all of a sudden it's invisible. It's gone. It's out of sight. Where did it go? It went into its kinas, in its hiding place. Then it comes out, it runs again, then it hides again. And subhanAllah, look at the beautiful analogy of this ayah, al-jawari al-kunnas. You know, what did we say al-jawari is? The shooting star, yeah? Now look at the shooting star. It shoots for a brief moment, where is it gone? Disappears. It's al-kunnas, all of a sudden it disappears. You know where it went. It's not like you see it veering off course, it keeps going up until you know where it's gone. It's there for those few brief moments, and then all of a sudden it disappears. Its light is gone off. And these were the superstitious beliefs of the mushrik. That's what he had. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala began this passage by swearing, taking an oath by these stars, illustrating the total control Allah azza wa jal has above these stars. Now Ash-Shawkani rahimahullah, he comments and he says, beautifully he says, that the mushrikeen, they believed that the shayateen, the devils, they get the information from the stars. That's what they believed. The shayateen, they climb above each other, one on top of the other, up until they get to the sky, and then they steal some information. يَسْتَرِقُونَ السَّمَعَ يَسْتَرِقْ from سَرَقَ. He steals the information. And we know about al-jawari al-kunnas that we just read now, we know about this, the shooting stars, and Allah calls it in another place in the Quran, shihabun thaqib. What do we know about these? That when they shoot, who are they shooting? They're shooting the devils that have climbed to the sky. So Allah shoots them with a shooting star and it kills them or it injures them badly. That's what we know of these stars. And they don't get this information completely. Their ladder drops. So what you think, ya mushrik, O Quraysh, what you think is the source of information from those shayateen is actually a punishment towards them. It's not information for them. It's a punishment towards them. They are getting pelted with these stars. That's how secure the information that's in the sky. That's how secure it is. So it's the exact opposite of what they believe. فَلَا أُقْسِمُ بِالْخُنَّسِ. Contrary, fala, no, that's not the idea. They're not getting their information from these stars. These stars are pelting them, rather. That's what the stars are doing. So now, already, we see a beautiful connection coming together. SubhanAllah, listen to this now. You know the first passage and the second passage? Where was the mention of stars in the first passage? Who can tell me the ayah? The second ayah, right? وَإِذَا النُّجُومُ what? In كَدَرَتْ. What did we say in كَدَرَتْ meant? Dull, stale, it loses its color. And then as a result, what happens to it? It falls. Look at this beautiful connection. يَا مُشْرِكْ. You don't believe إِذَا النُّجُومُ كَدَرَتْ. You don't believe this? You don't believe that a day is going to come when the stars basically shut down, the lights turn off, and they're going to drop? Well, if you don't believe this, then you have a sign in this life. Look at Al-Jawar Al-Kunnas. Look at the shooting star. Make sure when you see the shooting star, that's supposed to serve as a reminder for you that this is going to happen one day. Beautiful connection between the first passage and the second passage. So enough of your superstitious beliefs. When you see a Jawar Al-Kunnas, when you see the shooting star, this better serve as a reminder for you that Day of Judgment is true. And this should increase your belief in the Day of Judgment. You see the irony? Not believe, not increase your belief in your future and guide you to your future. This should be a sign for you that Yawm Al-Qiyamah is a day of truth and it is coming. And this is for all of us. You see a shooting star, remember that day when the stars are actually going to all shoot and fly out of their place. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَاللَّيْلِ إِذَا عَسْعَسْ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He swears by another powerful, incredible thing. He says, by the night, as it as'as. And as'as means as it darkens. Now the word as'as in the Arabic language is from what we know as al-mutabad al-lafzi. Words that mean their opposites. This incredible Arabic language, some words mean opposite, mean actually two things that are opposite. For example, al-dhan. The word al-dhan means assumption. Doubt. It also means certainty. الَّذِينَ يَظُنُّونَ أَنَّهُمْ مُلَاقُوا رَبِّهِمْ. Those that certainly believe they'll meet their Lord. So this is from al-mutabad al-lafzi. Subhanallah, the diverse nature of the Arabic language. You have the word wara. Who knows what wara means? Behind, it also means in front. وَكَانَ وَرَاءَهُمْ مَلِكٌ يَأْخُذُ كُلَّ سَفِينَةٍ عَصْبًا. Means in front of them there was a king. وَمِنْ وَرَائِهِمْ بَرْزَخٌ إِلَى يَوْمِ يُبْعَثُونَ. Means, and in front of them, there's the life of al-barzakh. There's the life of the grave. So wara means behind, and it also means in front. And so you find the word, for example, hayya. Hayya is a snake. And when you see a snake, it's something that's dangerous. It poses threat and harm to the human. It could basically kill you. But hayya comes from the word hay, which means something that's alive. Something that's full of life. So there's the concept of al-mutabad al-lafzi. Words that mean the opposites. So now coming back to the surah, as'as has two meanings. Aqbala wa adbar. It means, I swear by the night as it comes. And it also could mean, I swear by the night as it goes. Aqbal wa adbar. That's what as'as means. So don't confuse when you see the translations like this. Rather, you got to understand both of them. And both of them come in perfect meaning in this ayah. So Allah is taking an oath by the start of the night, and He is taking an oath by when the night departs. And these two times, they are referring to when the vision is blurry. So when the night approaches, the vision becomes blurry. As the night departs, the vision at that time is blurry. And at these times, when the vision becomes blurry, you don't see the stars, do you? You don't see the stars. So at that time, where do you get your guidance from? If during the night they come on and off, and during the night as it as'as, the times of blurriness, when the night comes and when it goes, there is no stars to see, where do you get your guidance at this time? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He swears by a time As'as, in where he controls even how much you get to see these stars. You don't even have control over what you can see. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes an oath, by wasubhi idha tanaffas, and I swear, by the morning, as it gets a chance to breathe. Look at the imagery created in this ayah. It's like the night has been, it chokes the day. The night chokes the day, literally. And in the morning, as-subh, the day gets to breathe. It takes a breath. Now we're going to understand this when we connect the objects to the oath, to the subject, you'll understand exactly what this is talking about. What something's being said in between the lines. And when the day arrives, when as-subh comes, where are the stars? There you cannot even see anything. So during the night, they're on and off, they're unstable. During the night, as it as-as, when it comes and when it disappears, when it goes, you don't see them. And then when as-subh comes, when the morning, when the day comes, there is no stars at all to be seen. Invisible. They're gone. And when it's the day, if there's a star, if there's a shooting star during the day, which this could be possible, you don't even have any idea there was a shooting star. So if the shooting star gives you information, what happened to that critical information during the day? It's gone, it passes by, you don't even know. So how do you rely on this as guidance and as information? So all of this information, all of these beliefs you assume is correct, is in fact weak, worthless, it's false, it's rubbish. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He informs us of the right source of knowledge. And this is the subject of the oath. He says, إِنَّهُ لَقَوْلُ رَسُولٍ كَرِيمٍ. This is no doubt, no doubt, this is the qawl, the word of a noble messenger. Now it's referring here to Jibreel alayhi salam. But let's take the ayah word by word. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّهُ, it. What it? Why did we say it's referring to the Qur'an? There was no mention up until now in this surah, the Qur'an. So how do we all of a sudden say this pronoun is actually referring to the Qur'an? You know why we say this? Because the Qur'an was such a big matter at that time that when you say it, everyone already knows what you're referring to. And subhanAllah, let me give you a very small example of my experience of this. When I was in Egypt a few months ago, and this towards the end of my trip there, you know, of course, the political tension that happened there and, against the government and against the president and so on. Eventually, in my last days there, anywhere you'd go, you'd hear the people say, did they remove him yet? Did they remove him yet? Did they get rid of him? They wouldn't mention his name. Everyone knows who him is. It's speaking about the president. Everyone knows. The matter is so big in the country that when they say, have they removed him? Or did he speak? Has he done his speech yet? And even say his name, you already know who he is. So the Qur'an at that time was so much bigger of a matter that there is no mention of, إِنَّ الْقُرْآنَ لَقَوْلُ رَسُولٍ كَرِيمٍ. Well, everyone already knows what it's pointing to. And this happens not only this time, it happens a lot in the Qur'an. إِنَّا أَنزَلْنَاهُ فِي لَيْلَةِ الْقَدْرِ. Already the beginning of a surah is saying, we revealed it in the night of power. Who? It. What's it? It's referring to the Qur'an. Obviously, that was the big discussion going on. So already people know what innahu is referring to. So innahu, the Qur'an. Now this is the subject of the oath. Let's now just tie the objects to the subject. Beautifully see this incredible connection between these two. We said al-khunnas are the twinkling stars. Stars have three benefits that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned in the Quran. Three purposes. Al-khunnas gives us two purposes. Firstly is that these stars, they're guidance for the traveler. They're a guidance for the traveler. وَعَلَامَاتٍ وَبِالنَّجْمِ هُمْ يَهْتَدُونَ. And the stars also are a decoration for the sky. زَيَّنَّا السَّمَاءَ الدُّنْيَا بِمَصَابِيحٍ. The subject is what? The Qur'an. The Qur'an is a guidance for the traveler. We are traveling towards Allah. Every ayah in the Quran is a star that guides you to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The stars are a decoration. The Quran is a decoration for your heart. It purifies your tongue. Even literally, people use the ayat of the Quran to decorate their house. That's in the literal sense. Now Allah said, Al-Jawari al-Kunnas. How's that related to the subject? What's Al-Jawari al-Kunnas? It's the shooting stars. The Quran, it shoots the misconceptions and the doubts you have about the Quran. Every ayah in the Quran serves as a doubt remover. It shoots your doubts. They say, رُجُومًا لِلشَّيَاطِينَ رُجُومًا لِلشُّبُهَاتِ. This is the idea, this is the connection. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He swears by the night as it darkens. وَاللَّيْلِ إِذَا عَسْعَسْ. He's comparing this to the blurriness and the confusion of the ways of the fortune tellers. And then he says, وَالصُّبْحِ إِذَا تَنَفَّسْ. He swears by the morning as it gets a chance to breathe, comparing it to the true revelation and to the true guidance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the night, as it as'as, it's blurry. And the information given to you by the Quran, by the fortune tellers, will lead a blurry life for you. You'll lead a miserable, confusing life. But as-subhi idha tanaffas, follow the true guidance and the true information from Allah, you'll lead a clear life, just like the day is clear, where you can see everything and differentiate two things from another. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, innahu laqawlu. Laqawlu means the word. But to explain this, we need to see what is the synonym of qawl. So what's another word for qawl in Arabic? Qala. Qala, qawl, this is the same. Kalam. Kalam. Allah doesn't say, innahu la kalamu rasul. So what's the difference between qawl and kalam? And this a lot of misconception happens here. Say, innahu la qawlu rasul. See, it's the word of Jibreel. It's not the word of Allah. This happens. So we need to respond to this. How do we respond? When you understand the difference between kalam and qawl, you'll understand. Kalam and qawl means word. Both mean the same. But what specific details do they both carry? Kalam is literally that which comes from the source. So for example, you say the Quran, you grab it, you say this is kalamullah. You look at the hadith, you say this is kalamu rasulillah. You speak something, I say this is kalam Ahmed, for example. That's his kalam. I say that's his kalam. Now qawl is when someone else words you. He quotes what you say. So for example, we quote Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from the hadith. So what do we say? Qala Rasulullah. Because what we're about to say, what we say after qala, that indicates it's not my word. Qala Allah. It already indicated that's not my word. I say qala Ahmed. Meaning what I'm going to say now is not my word. I'm just quoting it. So this is the difference. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, innahu la qawlu, He doesn't say innahu la kalam. It's not the word of Jibreel. This is the qawl of Jibreel. It implies that Jibreel doesn't make up these words. Rather, he hears them from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he passes every single letter and word he hears onto the heart of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is qawl. Because it's a qawl, meaning what? He quoted it. Who did he get it from? Who did he hear it from? From Allah. So it was innahu la kalam, we would have understood this is the made up word of Jibreel. But Allah said qawl, and by qawl we already understand this, what Jibreel is saying, what he recites unto Rasulullah is actually quoted Therefore, it is Kalamullah. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ascribes this word to himself, for example, in Surah At-Tawbah, he said what? Hatta yasma'a kalam Allah. Hatta yasma'a kalam Allah. Because the word of Allah. So Allah refers to his word as kalam. It's his kalam. طيب. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّهُ لَقَوْلُ رَسُولٍ كَرِيمٍ. Rasulin Kareem, here it's referring to Jibreel alayhi salam. Rasul comes from the word arsala. Arsala literally means to send out a message. You send someone with a letter, you send someone with a message, go on and send it. If he goes on and sends it, I call him Rasul. Someone that delivers a message. And so Jibreel was called a Rasul because he takes a message from Allah and he comes all the way down to the earth and he gives it to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now something else we should note in Rasul, this in the study of morphology, as-sarf, we say that this is on the pattern of fa'ul. Don't get too confused, I'll give you what this implies already. Fa'ul, Rasul, they both all rhyme. So you have Sa'ul as well. And all this implies hyperbole, mubalagha. So when we say Rasul, there's a hyperbole about something. It hyperbolizes how professional this message has been delivered. Allah referred to him as Rasul. The proper good translation for this would be someone who is a professional messenger, someone that has a lot of experience in messaging and going on about in messages. So all the prophets were called Rusul, Rasul, because they're the best at it. So for example, let me just give you a term that we can understand together. I say, Hadha Yas'al, he is asking. But if I say, Hadha Sa'ul, means he's a professional in asking questions. He just keeps on asking questions after and after and after. If I want to say this, I'll say Sa'ul, that waw in the middle. So this Rasul, even when you read it, you stop on it, you extend it, giving you the idea of there's too much experience. This is the only job he could ever have. He's the best at it. So this is the idea of Rasul and how it gives us the meaning. إِنَّهُ لَقَوْلُ رَسُولٍ كَرِيمٍ. This is the first quality out of five qualities that now Allah Azza wa Jal is going to describe Jibreel. Really, really important, these qualities. Each and every single one of them is so important to understand in the context of what we're speaking. So I'll share them with you inshallah. The first one is Kareem. Allah describes him as Kareem. Now Kareem here means he's noble. He's respected. And out of his nobility, part of his nobility is that he's truthful when he conveys the message to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Why does Allah describe Jibreel as Kareem? So he can respond to the disbelievers. Jibreel is Kareem. Remember how they accused Rasulullah of getting this word from a devil as well? Well, he gets his stuff from the devil as well. So what if we get our stuff from the devil? Now Allah says, no. This Rasul that gives him the message is Kareem. He's noble. And part of the nobility is that he doesn't lie. He's truthful when it comes to relaying the message. Unlike your people, they're not Kareem. The devils, one truth, 99 lies. There's no Kareem to them. So it's important to describe Jibreel as Kareem. So it can go against who they refer to. Kareem. Another meaning of Kareem is Jamilul Manzar. Beautiful looking, handsome. That's another meaning of Kareem. And you know, there's the concept and the idea of when someone looks beautiful, they say, oh, he's an angel. You've heard this before. So there's something got to do with angel and beautiful looks. Now, why is it important to mention this? Because the devil, how does he look? How does Allah describe him? As an evil, ugly, wicked looking creation. طَلْعُهَا كَأَنُّ رُؤُوسُ الشَّيَاطِينَ. When he describes a horrible tree in Jahannam, he compares it to the head of a devil. So you can just have the idea of the ones you're relying on. Firstly, one truth, 99 false, 99 lies, and he's ugly looking. And Jibreel, he's noble, he's respected, and he's good looking, and he's truthful when he conveys the message. In the previous surah, Surah Abasa, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala defended the source. He defended the message. He defended the Quran. He said, "في صحف مكرمة مرفوعة مطهرة." In that surah, Allah defended the source, the Quran. This surah, Allah is defending the means in how this Quran gets to us. Subhanallah, a beautiful connection between the two surah. So now, and in this surah later on, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala defends the messenger himself when he says, وَمَا صَاحِبُكُمْ بِمَجْنُونَ. So there are three things here. There's the message, which is the Quran. There's delivery process, which is the way the Quran gets to us. And there's the one that relays this message to us. That's Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So the defense of the message of the Quran came in Surah Abasa. في صحف مكرمة مرفوعة مطهرة. The defense of how this Quran comes down and the defense of to who it comes down upon is in this surah, Surah At-Takwir. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, so Kareem, this word actually, it is defending Jibreel, but at the same time it's defending the means of how the Quran comes to us, because it comes through Jibreel, so it's important to say Kareem. And that is defending the sanad of this Quran, how it comes down. The second quality, ذي قوة, possessor of strength, of might, of power. Why is this important to describe Jibreel? It illustrates the idea that the message is protected. So if the devils try to come and steal something, he's quwa, he's powerful, they can't steal nothing. So it's important to understand that Jibreel has might and has power. If the devils try to gang up onto him, try to get onto him, steal what he has power. He has 600 wings. One wing covers the sky, covers between the west and the east. He destroyed four towns, Jibreel. And he destroyed the towns with one wing. 599 wings weren't even in use. He grabbed the town. He picked it up. He lifted it all the way to the sky. In the narration it says that the angels, they heard the screams of these people on the land. Then he flipped it with one wing. That's the force. That's the power he has. The shaitan sees him, he runs away. He has to have this power. He's delivering sacred information. He's delivering the Quran. So Allah describes him as ذي قوة. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and this is in contrast to the devils. Unlike your devils, they can't fend off the shooting star. When the shooting star hits him, what has he got, a shield and push it back? It hits him, it kills him, or it injures him. So there's no quwwah with who you're basing your information and taking your information and your guidance from. Rather, this messenger is the quwwah. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, عِنْدَ ذِي الْعَرْشِ. This is the third quality Allah describes Jibreel. He says he is situated right by the possessor of the throne. عِنْدَ ذِي الْعَرْشِ. Literally, al-arsh is the roof. Arsh is a roof. And why was the arsh referred to as a roof? Because it is the roof of the creation. It is above all creation. So Allah called it an arsh. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that he is عند ذي العرش مكين. And مكين comes from the word مكان. And مكان تمكين, مكان. مكان means a place. And مكين تمكين, it means to have high status. This is Makin, to have high status. And so, Makin also means to have authority. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَقَدْ مَكَّنَّاكُمْ فِي الْأَرْضِ. We gave you authority in this land. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes Jibreel as he has a place. He has a place. Where's this place? Allah honors him by putting him at Al-Arsh. He's right at the Arsh. That's where he's situated. That's his roof. That's the house. That's where he lives. That's where he's situated, permanently. And he is Makin at the same time, because he lives there, he has high status. You know, this the idea nowadays, and even in the past, if you live in expensive areas, then somehow people assume that you have some sort of high rank in society. So you live in Double Bay or you live in Vaucluse or somewhere, people already assume that, oh, you live there, that means you got some noble status. You're high. So you can just imagine what kind of nobility, what kind of high status Jibreel alayhi salam has. That's where his house is. It's inda dhil arsh. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, makin inda dhil arsh makin. Unlike your devils, unlike the devils you take your information and your guidance from, they can't even get near the sky. They try to get near the sky, they're pelted. Jibreel is up at the end. He's basically at the roof of all creation. Inda dhil arsh. That's where our Qur'an, when we follow the Qur'an, when we follow the guidance, rest assured, this is coming from the most best sources. And it is coming down with full protection. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes Jibreel. Again, this is now the fourth description. He says, muta'in thamma. Muta'in thamma. Muta' means he's obeyed. And muta' also has the word tatawwa'. You know what tatawwa' means? You know, you say salat al-tatawwa', what's that? Voluntary prayers. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَمَنْ تَطَوَّعَ خَيْرًا فَهُوَ خَيْرٌ لَهُ. Whoever voluntarily fasts, it's good for him. فَمَنْ تَطَوَّعَ خَيْرًا فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ شَاكِرٌ عَلِيمٌ. Whoever voluntarily makes tawaf, besides the obligation, then Allah is appreciative. So tatawwa' gives us the meaning of volunteer. And muta' ta' gives the meaning of abate. So how do these two incredibly go together? Listen to this, what a beautiful of a meaning. Jibreel alayhi salam has an army of angels that obey him, and they obey him voluntarily. They obey him voluntarily. Muta' thamma. Thamma means over there. Thamma means hunak. He's obeyed right at the throne. That's where he's obeyed. This multitude of army, this huge army he has of angels, of followers, that don't forcefully obey him. They're not forced like what we have of kings today. They force their people, their army to follow them. Rather, Allah says, muta', what a beautiful word, gives us the meaning of that they respect him. Why do they respect him? Because Allah honored him. Because Allah gave him high status. So we should respect him as well. So he says, muta'in thamma. He's obeyed voluntarily. He's obeyed lovingly over there. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, ameen. Now there's a two qira'at for thamma. There's some of the qurra, they recited muta'in thamma. When you read thamma, that means hunak, that means there. The other qira'a is to put a dhamma on the tha, and that's the word that we know. Muta'in thumma ameen. Thumma ameen. Now, thumma is very important in the language to understand that anything comes after thumma is of course connected to what comes before, but it highlights what comes after. So in other words, basically what's being said, Jibreel alayhi salam, he's kareem, he's dhu quwa, he's makin, he's inda dhil arsh makin, he's muta'. But the most important of qualities is that he's ameen. Now, why is it the most important? Let's understand. The first quality was kareem, noble, respected, beautiful looking. All right, you can have this. A ruler or a leader, for example, Jibreel, let's say he can have this. Ameen, by the way, means trustworthy. Trustworthy. Dhi quwa. You can have power, might, strength. Makin. You could have high status. You could be elevated in your ranks. Muta'. You can have a large following that loves you. But you know what the problem could be? You could be untrustworthy. all this could follow you and deceive you, and you yourself, you're a liar. You're a liar. It could happen. So the most important of all qualities was what came after Thumma. He's especially trustworthy. Because this messenger, this Rasul, he could come down, tamper with the message. He could play with it. He could change it. As he's reciting to Rasulullah, he could change it. But Allah says, especially above all these, the most important quality is that he is Amin. He's trustworthy. Unlike your source, there is no trustworthy. There is no trustworthiness. So this is important to mention. Muta'in thamma Amin. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he basically now just defended how the Quran comes down. He defended the means in how the Quran is revealed. Subhanallah. No doubt anymore about the Quran and how it was revealed to us. This is how it was revealed. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَا صَاحِبُكُمْ بِمَجْنُونَ. And this companion of yours, he's not majnoon. He's not insane. Now, this ayah is not an ayah that's praising Rasulullah. Because you don't praise someone by saying he's not insane. You know, if I want to praise this man here, I don't say, mashallah, this brother is not majnoon. You don't praise him like this. You praise him, you say, mashallah, this brother is intelligent. Mashallah, he's wise. That's how you praise someone. So this ayah is not a praise for Rasulullah. Rather, what did we say? It's an ayah that defends Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So now Allah defended the Quran in Surah Abasa. Now he defended the way the Quran comes down, the means in which it comes down. Now he is defending this messenger alayhi salatu wassalam. He's saying, وَمَا صَاحِبُكُمْ بِمَجْنُونَ. He didn't say, وَمَا مُحَمَّدٌ بِمَجْنُونَ. He didn't say, وَمَا رَسُولُكُمْ بِمَجْنُونَ. Rather, he said, صَاحِبُكُمْ. The word صَاحِبُكُمْ comes from صَاحِب. صَاحِب means a companion. A friend. A friend. A friend that you've known for a long time. That refers to time and a place as well. You've lived right by his side for many years. You've hanged out with him for many years. You know, for example now, if one of you knows another brother in this masjid, wallah, you've been seeing him for 10 years in this masjid. He's still not your sahib. Because you only know him in the masjid. But when he goes home, he could be a totally different person. So the idea when Allah says, وَمَا صَاحِبُكُمْ, he's saying, you fools. You're accusing him of being insane. And you've lived with him. You've lived with him through time. And he's your neighbor. You've basically seen him inside his house, outside his house. You've given him the titles of a Sadiq al-Amin. Wasn't that the case of Quraysh? They called him the most honest, the most trustworthy. Now you're accusing him and you're saying he's an insane man. He's getting his information from wicked devils and some from I don't know where. So Allah comes to the defense of his messenger, alayhi salatu wassalam, and he says, وَمَا صَاحِبُكُمْ بِمَجْنُونَ. This messenger, he's not insane. Rather, who's insane? Those that you go to for guidance. He's not insane when it comes to guidance. Those fortune tellers that you go to for guidance and information, they're insane. وَمَا صَاحِبُكُمْ بِمَجْنُونَ. وَلَقَدْ رَآهُ بِالْأُفُقِ الْمُبِينَ. And indeed, no doubt about it, certainly, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw him. He saw Jibreel bil-ufuq al-mubin. Al-ufuq is the horizon. Al-mubin is clear. Meaning he saw him in the clear horizon. You know where the sky meets the land? That's the clear horizon. He saw him. Like you see the sky during the day. He saw with his eyes. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes this in Surah Al-Najm. He says, وَالنَّجْمِ إِذَا هَوَى مَا ضَلَّ صَاحِبُكُمْ وَمَا غَوَى. وما ينطق عن الهوى إن هو إلا وحي يوحى علمه شديد القوى ذو مرة فاستوى وهو بالأفق الأعلى. He was in the high, in the most highest and clearest of horizon. ثم دنا. That's how he came down. He dana. And the dunu is to come down softly. You know, sometimes you see the bird, the eagle, when it comes down on its prey, it swoops and it takes off. That's quick. Jibril didn't come down like this. He dana. He came down slowly. فتدلى. And تدلى is like the fruit on the tree, how it just hangs down. Then he got really close to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. فَكَانَ قَابَ قَوْسَيْنِ أَوْ أَدْنَى. Al qaws is a bow. As-saham is the arrow. Allah is saying, he got so close to Rasulullah, as a matter of fact, so close that it measures to two bows. Qaws, one end, that's the bow, and the other end. Two bows put together. That's how close he got to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. ثُمَّ دَنَا فَتَدَلَّ فَكَانَ قَابَ قَوْسَيْنِ أَوْ أَدْنَى. Even closer. فَأَوْحَى إِلَىٰ عَبْدِهِ مَا أَوْحَى. He inspired to his messenger. He revealed to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam what he got from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he saw him in his original creation. He didn't come this time as a man. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw Jibreel twice. This was the first time he saw him, the beginning of revelation. He saw him with his eyes, with his creation. When Jibreel came down, he saw him with 600 wings. One wing had covered between the east and the west. Pearls and gems would drop from his wings. That the hadith says, Mallahu bihi alim. Only Allah knows where they ended. He saw him. Why is it important to mention this? Unlike the fortune tellers you follow, they didn't even see the devils. They made it like they're mumbling and having this telepathic connection. Then they told you, I got it. They didn't even see anyone. Amma Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he saw him. وَلَقَدْ رَآهُ بِالْأُفُقِ الْمُبِينِ. And the second time Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw Jibreel, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَقَدْ رَآهُ نَزْلَةً أُخْرَى. He saw him one more time. And this was the final time. Where did he see him? عند سِدْرَة الْمُنْتَهَى. He saw him at سِدْرَة الْمُنْتَهَى. Sidra is the low tree. And this tree is in paradise. And it is at الْمُنْتَهَى. الْمُنْتَهَى is the final bit of Jannah. الْمُنْتَهَى is right under the arsh. عند سدرة المنتهى عندها جنة المأوى. Right there at سدرة المنتهى is the final place of paradise. In ليلة الإسراء والمعراج, جبريل عليه السلام took رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. Up until they got to this place where the low tree was, then جبريل عليه السلام, he told رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم, you continue, I can't. If I pass this سدرة المنتهى, my wings are going to burn. That's it. I've only been given security clearance up until here. You can go further. Go ahead. That was the second time he saw him. And with all this, and with all this description of Jibreel, and this huge creation of Jibreel, and these qualities of Jibreel, Jibreel is a creation. Can you comprehend the Creator? Can you imagine how huge, how great Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is? This is a creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So they say, فَكَيْفَ بِالْخَالِقِ. How is it? وَلَقَدْ رَآهُ بِالْأُفُقِ الْمُبِينِ. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَا هُوَ عَلَى الْغَيْبِ بِضَنِينِ. وَمَا هُوَ عَلَى الْغَيْبِ بِضَنِينِ. And the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he's not cheap when it comes to al-ghayb. You know the Quran, a lot of it is ghayb. A lot of it is future events. It's the events of the Day of Judgment. What happens after your death? What's going to happen in the end of time? It's ghaib. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, وَمَا هُوَ. He is not cheap when it comes to information about the future. He is reading this Quran to you at no cost, for free. Unlike your fortune tellers, for rubbish, you gotta pay. For something that's not real, for something that's going to misguide you, you have to pay money in order to get rubbish. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, hey you fools, you don't understand. وَمَا هُوَ عَلَى الْغَيْبِ بِضَنِينَ. And the word ضَنِين, the closest word in the Arabic language to it is بَخِيل. Now you know, ضَنِين is different to بَخِيل. It all means cheap, to be tight and cheap. But ضَنِين is to be cheap when it comes to information. You know, like how you have McDonald's, they have like a big lock on their Big Mac sauce, on their recipe. They're cheap when it comes to information. They don't give you this information. They hold it back. They're tight on information. You know, some successful business companies, if you go, oh, please can you run us through the procedure? Just give us your manual. How did you run this business so we can be like it? They won't give it to you. It's cheap, tight. And the most noble and the most best of information is this Quran. And look how cheap. And look how free it's coming. At no cost. Allah wants you to have this Quran, read it and find where its guidance for you is. So this is unlike the Kuffar Quraysh. When it comes to apparently telling you your future, al-ghayb, when it comes to apparently, oh we just spoke to the devil, let's tell you your future, tebakhir, stinginess, that we won't tell you. You gotta pay us. Pay us, we'll tell you what happens in the future. وَمَا هُوَ عَلَى الْغَيْبِ بِضَنِينَ. And then we'll conclude with وَمَا هُوَ بِقَوْلِ شَيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ. And this word is not the word of a Satan, رَجِيمِ, شَيْطَان. It's not the word of the devil. رَجِيمِ means يعني he's cursed, that's رَجِيمِ. رَجِيمِ also comes from رَجِم. You know رَجِم, how you pelt? The shaitan is so cursed, so much so that yani when you go to, literally when you go to Mecca, when you go to Hajj, you're pelting him. You're pelting where he was. His waswas, his whispers. That's why it was called shaitan al-rajim. So Allah is saying, this word is not the word of the devil. Unlike your fortune tellers, your palm readers, those that you go for guidance and advice, their word is what? Shaytan al-Rajim. Their word is the word of the devil. So subhanAllah, now alhamdulillah, we probably had a better understanding why these ayat come in place. Why is Allah saying, وَمَا صَاحِبُكُمْ بِمَجْنُونَ وَلَقَدْ رَأَهُ بِالْأُفُقِ الْمُبِينَ وَمَا هُوَ عَلَى الْغَيْبِ بِضَنِينَ وَمَا هُوَ. All this, وَمَا 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 وَمَا. Why is it important to know all this? Because alhamdulillah, when we understood the introduction to these ayat, we understood that this is coming in defense of Rasulullah. And it's an attack against the kuffar, against the Quraysh, saying, no. All this is actually for you. Amma, the message is, oh, wama, 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 wama. There comes a very important question when it comes to wama huwa biqawli shaytanin rajim. We said shaytanin rajim is a cursed devil. Now the question is, when we mention the devil, when we mention the name of Iblis, shaytan, do we curse him? Do we say Iblis la'anahu Allah? Is it part of our deen to say this? So, wallahu a'lam, that's not the case. We don't say this. We don't say Iblis la'anahu Allah. Although if you said it, there's no harm in this, but there is no order, no instruction from Allah ta'ala that he says curse him when his name is mentioned. What does Allah order us when we hear the word shaytan? What do we say? A'udhu billahi minash shaitan. We seek refuge in Allah from the shaitan. So when we say Iblis, we say na'udhu billahi min. That's the dua we make. Because when you say la'anahu Allah, why are you making dua against him? He's already cursed. Allah told you, Rajim, the cursed. That he's already cursed. It's not going to increase in his curse when you say this. Allah says in Surah An-Nisa, shaytanin marid la'anahu Allah. Allah already cursed him. we have to seek refuge within Allah, with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, from Iblis. Now, a perfect example that Sheikh Ishaq Abu Ishaq al-Huwayni gave on this, and I'd like to share with you. He said, you know, there's an owner and there's a dog. If the dog kept barking and following you, and you pelted it with stones, is it going to come back? It's going to come back. And pelt it again, it's going to come back. Pelt it a third time, it's going to come back. But if you go to the owner and say, hey, listen, your dog is causing problems, block him up and get him out of here, you won't see that dog again. So, cursing Iblis is like throwing the stones at this dog. Throw and throw and la'anahu Allah, la'anahu Allah. What's he going to do? He's going to come back. But ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that he gets rid of this shaitan from your life, and then inshallah ta'ala you won't see him again. For this is وَمَا هُوَ بِقَوْلِ شَيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and we'll conclude perhaps inshallah with this, فَأَيْنَ تَذْهَبُونَ. Powerful conclusion to this surah. Allah poses a question. فَأَيْنَ تَذْهَبُونَ. After all this, and all this reality, where are you heading? فَأَيْنَ تَذْهَبُونَ. Where are you going? You know, in the past two surah, the kuffar were asking the questions. عَمَّ يَتَسَاءَلُونَ عَنِ النَّبَإِ الْعَظِيمِ. يَقُولُونَ إِنَّا لَمَرْدُودُونَ فِي الْحَافِرَةِ قَالُوا تِلْكَ إِذَا. They're asking the questions. Now in this surah, Allah asks the question. فَأَيْنَ تَذْهَبُونَ. Where do you think you're heading towards? This is the reality. Day of judgment is in front of you. That's where you're heading towards. So what are you getting out of rejecting Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, refusing his message? What are you getting out of it? Going to the fortune tellers, picking up information from them? Nothing. So where are you going? فَأَيْنَ تَذْهَبُونَ إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا ذِكْرٌ لِلْعَالَمِينَ. This Qur'an is nothing, only it's only but a reminder. لِلْعَالَمِينَ لِلْعَالَمِينَ. We'll discuss this inshaAllah ta'ala in the next week inshaAllah. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us people of the Qur'an, people who benefit from the reminders of the Qur'an. We ask Allah Azza wa Jal to give us a deeper understanding of the Qur'an and to correct our understanding of the Qur'an. إِنَّهُ وَلِيُّ ذَلِكَ وَالْقَادِرُ عَلَيْهِ وَصَلَّى اللَّهُ وَسَلَّمَ وَبَارَكَ عَلَى نَبِيِّنَا مُحَمَّدٍ وَعَلَى آلِهِ وَصَحْبِهِ أَجْمَعِينَ.